All right, we have now been joined by our race winning crew chief, Chris Gabehart. Chris, can you hear us okay?
I can, yeah.
All right, congratulations on that victory. We appreciate you spending some time with us. We are going to get to as many questions as we can in the time that we have with you. So to kick us off, we're going to go to Kelly Crane. Kelly, with your question.
We just won Las Vegas. I got all night. You guys take as long.
That's a fair point. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. Hi, Chris. Congratulations. It sounds like Denny was pointing to this race a year ago where you guys hit on something. He had said he'd been so close before and just never got the right brakes, but it sounds like he also hit on something with the car. Can you share any insight into what it was that was different that you guys brought back this time around?
Yeah, we definitely did. Vegas, you know, reaching back to the spring race in 2020 was really kind of the last track that he and I hadn't hit on together. I just hadn't found exactly what we needed. And, you know, it was definitely a struggle for us, you know, excluding like Charlotte Road Course, those kind of things. It was kind of the meat and potato tracks. It was the last one that we just hadn't got a hold of. And then we come back in the fall with a game plan and, you know, really worked on certain areas of simulation and things that I just really felt like we needed to be good at to be good here. And it panned out. And since then, you know, it's been our North Star. I mean, you know, with Denny and I and this race team at every track, once we lock in on what it is that we need, we've been really fortunate to be able to duplicate that for the most part. And now it's been no different at Vegas.
Two wins in the first four races of the playoffs. How dangerous is this race team?
Well, it's just such an advantage to win any race in the playoffs, but certainly the first race of any round, because, you know, especially this round, you look ahead to Talladega and Charlotte. It's just you can't stress enough. You know, every one of these race teams are professionals, so they deal with the stress and the pressure, and they handle it. But it's there, you know, it exists, and you can't look past it. It's real, and you know, we've only had to deal with that for what will be two of the next of the first six races of the playoffs. And certainly, you know, our team's been really capable all year long. Every metric other than the win column has been astounding for our team. It's really been our best year together thus far. And, you know, you stay up front as much as we have, and the wins are going to finally come, and they're coming at the right time.
Thank you.
Okay. Our next question is going to come from Justin. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, Justin Schuler, Kicking the Tires. First off, congratulations. How much does this win mean to be able to not have to worry about wild card races like Talladega and the Roval, where we've seen pretty much anything happen?
Yeah, it really can't be overemphasized. You know, with the exception of the five car coming into the night, really no team was safe. I mean, the cut line was in the teens from the car that was the most safe other than the five, and we were one of them at 11, I think it was. So it really can't be overstated. Again, these race teams at this level, they're all professionals. They deal with pressure so well. It's just part of the job in pro sports. But if there's a competitor out there if there's a team out there that's not having to deal with that pressure when every other one of them is, it's a big advantage, and I'm happy it's the 11 car.
Okay, our next question will come from Davey Siegel. Go ahead, Davey.
You said you're going to be up all night, so what's the party going to be like?
I don't know if we're going to be up all night or not, but I guarantee I got enough energy to do it at the moment. You know, I just can't think of a better place to win. You know, I mean, the Southern 500 Darlington was huge, but this was statistically Denny's worst racetrack, barring any, you know, short-term road course type stuff. And for us to be able to triumph here and do it consistently now, I mean, we had the best car here a year ago, had a really good car this spring, and certainly had a top two car tonight. You know, it just shows what this race team's capable of, and I'm proud of it.
Danny, what about you? What's the party going to be like?
I can't hear.
He's asking what your party in Las Vegas is going to be like.
Danny, can you hear us now?
Yep. Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Davey was asking what the party was going to be like after the win tonight.
I can't tell you that. I'm debating 50-50 whether I'm staying or going. So we'll see. I'm not sure. I got to get the kids from school tomorrow. So I got to still somewhat be little bit responsible.
All right. And just a quick update for everyone on the Zoom here tonight. We are now joined by our race winning driver, Denny Hamlin, and our race winning owner, Coach Gibbs. And we still have Chris Gabehart here as well for questions. So we're going to continue with questions. Please let us know who your question will be directed to. And to kick us off next, we'll go to Greg Engle. Go ahead.
Hey, this is for Chris. I think you should stay. But Chris, the guys looked pretty good early on. I mean, they were on the top four spots at one point. When all those stops were happening and Denny came in and all that, and the Hendrick guys kind of stayed out there, did that give you a little pause, or are you just confident enough to know you were doing the right thing?
Well, no, I was confident we were doing the right thing. It just was really at a very critical point in the stage where it wasn't obvious that it opened a window for everyone. But it turned out that's the way it played out. But that was right at the edge of our fuel window. And after you run a few cautions, it was going to put us well within it. And, you know, it's rare when you can look to one singular point in the race and say that was the turning point in the race. But it really was. You know, those guys were strong. The Hendrick cars are always strong at these tracks. And, you know, that I'm not saying we weren't good. We were certainly capable. But that gave us the leg up that we needed to take control of the race.
Thanks, pal. Congratulations. Enjoy it. Make Denny stay in park.
Thanks.
All right. Our next question will come from Zach. Go ahead, Zach.
Denny, this one's for you. Kind of similar to what Chris was just talking about. But, you know, Hendrick Motorsports has been praised as the team to beat on these 550 horsepower racetracks this season. And Gibbs ends up coming home 1-3-4 today. What does that say about where this organization is at on the mile and a half tracks? And was this more a matter of performance over strategy? What was your take on how that all played out?
Well, I thought through the summer months, we made some gains on the 550 tracks. And really, that's kind of been our bread and butter with our 11 FedEx team for the first 2 years of my relationship with Chris. So, you know, I think that we really put a lot of emphasis in the offseason trying to get better in the 750s. Chris knows I don't like this.
All right. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. We had a little bit of technical difficulties. Question from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, I have one more for Chris. Locked into the round of eight, but I'm curious, at what point do you start looking at Phoenix and putting a car aside or thinking about your car for Phoenix?
Well, I think every major organization looks to Phoenix. You know, we're blessed to have a lot of, you know, capable people in our company that can multitask, I guess we'll say. But you know, certainly when, you know, through the first six races, our team's only going to have only been stressed for two of them and are therefore able to take some of our focus and put it elsewhere. I mean, that's a huge advantage. It can't be understated. And, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to divvying up that time. I can tell you that.
And Denny, you all have been adamant all year. You guys can win races. The numbers have spoke for themselves, but two wins now in the first four races. How much more confidence does that just give you about this team and your chances to keep going deep in this postseason?
Well, my crew chief would say I missed out on two more wins in the first round, so we should have won all of them. So I can't disagree. We probably should have won every race so far in the playoffs. I guess I've heard out there we've led a third of all the laps so far in the playoffs. So, I mean, we're good. We knew that, you know, this is what we're capable of. And really we've shown this all year long. It shows in laps led, top fives, top tens, but you know, for whatever reason, whether it be bad luck or, you know, mistakes on our own, we haven't got all the bunches of wins that we've had in the past. So hopefully this is a start of a really good run.
Okay, our next question will come from Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, for Chris, if that caution after about 10 laps in stage two was extended as they had to get a chase vehicle that broke down on the track, how much did that matter a lot as far as being able to make that stage on fuel?
Again, the caution fell right on the edge, and NASCAR opened the pit road really, really quickly. It didn't give the teams a lot of time to sort of think through the what ifs of it all. You really had to be ready with your call right away and go with gut instinct. And I think I only got the call to Denny once on the car, and I told him exactly why we needed to pit. And to be honest with you, the pit crew had to adjust on the fly. I mean, I told Denny we needed to pit for fuel. Pit road's open. We're coming down pit road, and I told the pit crew what we're doing. It just happened that fast. It really was the turning point of the race, and you know, certainly the extra cautions, which you kind of got to know in the back of your mind, you're going to get them. It's not when you pit, but it's how many caution laps you're going to get after when you pit, and what that does to your fuel window, and just the way this worked out, there wasn't very much time at all to think through all that, but I was very confident it was the right call, or at least opened up options for us. And really where we were able to cash in was what played out. That was the stage going the rest of the way green. And man, I can't be happier that it did.
For Denny, not sure if you've been asked, but do you feel like with the way you've run the last four races that you should be considered the favorite and not Larson for the title?
I don't care. Nothing matters. You have to play the game. It doesn't matter who's the favorite. You have to play. And again, we were dominant last year. Harvick was dominant last year. He didn't even make the final four. We squeaked in and you know, we finished fourth. Like, that's all we had for car speed. So I just think that it's so hard to predict. This championship is made in one race. It's so different than it used to be. And so our team, our goals going into the year is just make the final four, because, you know, it's really, really hard to predict what can happen in one particular race. But favorite, I don't know. You know, I like our chances on a Phoenix type track, that's for sure.
Okay, our next question will come from Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Continue today as far as Harvick goes. Do you enjoy now watching Harvick try to get into people's heads?
Honestly, Harvick's kind of mind games was more so earlier in his career. I think he was just generally pissed off last week and this week. So I just think he probably legitimately had a gripe. So I can't condone one way or another, but he had a gripe and he voiced it.
Thank you.
Okay, next question will go to Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Denny, congratulations on the win tonight. I was just curious about Talladega next weekend. Do you be playing a little selfish game and try to go for as many stage points as you can get, or do you be the teammate role and try to help your teammates get further along into the round of 12 and prepare for hopefully the round of 8?
We'll discuss that this week, but honestly, from my standpoint, it's a free pass to go there and try to lead every lap and win the race. So, I mean, last year we were so fortunate because we had a good first, a Las Vegas race. We had a lot of bonus points. So we were able to lay in the back the entire race, and we were 29th on the first or 23rd or something on the first green white checkered and won the race. So I don't know. That's a tough race to get through. There's always a lot of attrition, but again, it's another week where there's nothing to lose, all to gain.
Thanks, Jenny.
All right, real fast. Is there any questions for Coach Gibb before we let him go? All right, we'll continue with additional questions, and we'll take another question from Mitchell Brewer. Go ahead, Mitchell.
The team has found a setup that has worked with my driving style. And I know that me and Chris really work hard on trying to shore up any, deficiencies that we have. And I try to have, or I have as a driver. So I go to work on it, and the team goes to work on what they need to give me to go fast. And I try to give them the best information that I can. And they take that information, they, put their brains together and they come up with something that works. And really the last 2 years, they've really, you know, changed the game for me at this racetrack. And again, it's just, it means a lot to cross off of Las Vegas is the track that we want at now.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right, Davey Siegel, did you have additional questions?
Nope, I'm all good. Thank you.
All right. Zach, did you have any additional questions?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Justin, do you have a final question?
Yeah, Denny, I asked your crew chief earlier, but I'll ask you too. How does this win help kind of ease the pressure of the wild cards like Talladega and the Roval, especially considering how we've seen the road courses be so chaotic this year?
Yeah, I mean, I already planned on a lot of prep time for the Roval. It's a track that I have struggled at over the years for whatever reason. I'm still professional. I still want to go out there and win the next 2 weeks. I mean, there's no reason for us to take any weeks off. We don't take any weeks off. We were battling for regular season championship for the last 10 weeks of the regular season. Like, you know, we've been in playoff mode for quite a while now. So I'm just more looking forward to it now, you know, than you know, worrying about, you know, all the what ifs of what can happen that could take you out. Because during the course of my career, I've had just about all the what ifs actually happen. So it's good to know that we've got nothing to lose at this point.
Okay, we have a question from Tom, I believe. Tom, can you hear us?
I can. Hi, Denny. What does this win at Las Vegas do for you now that you're safely into the round of eight and Kansas is another mile and a half that's coming up in the next round? Is that a benefit for you going forward into that round as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly some things we can learn from Kansas, or from this racetrack, that we can take to Kansas, and I'm sure we'll study this racetrack quite a bit and figure out, you know, still how we could be better than what we are and apply those things towards Kansas. So certainly there's a lot of parallels that you can draw between the two. So it's very encouraging from my standpoint.
Good luck, bud. Go get them.
Thanks.
All right, Denny, congratulations again on the win and essentially punching your ticket into the next round of the NASCAR playoffs. We appreciate you spending some time with us this evening and wish you the best of luck next week in Talladega.
All right, thank you.
All right, and to all the media who joined us as well, thank you for joining us, audio and video. Permission will be available on NASCARmedia.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda. Thanks, Marissa.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye, guys.